We begin tonight with an arrest made in San Francisco after an Asian senior was attacked for no apparent reason.
They have booked 34-year-old Derek Yarby on assault, battery, and elderly abuse charges.
Some of these are our most vulnerable residents. And when our most vulnerable residents are attacked, this really tends to draw a lot more interest from people. And also, the police department wants to make sure that these residents are protected and we find the people who are attacking them. There's been a number of these incidents. We're always looking to see if a suspect description matches any with a similar MO. So investigators will be looking to determine whether or not the suspect may be responsible for other attacks.
Gregory Chu was the second Asian senior attacked in the city in the last week. You can see the bruise around his eye on your screen.
That violence led to an anti-Asian hate rally in San Francisco today, and KPX5's Don Lin has the story.
Two separate attacks on Asian seniors in San Francisco this past week. The first attack happened in this lobby of a senior housing complex. Asian American organizers say they're sick and tired of the Asian hate.
Fed up protesters disrupted traffic and marched down the busy Columbus Avenue Sunday afternoon. Many recent anti-Asian hate marches stayed on sidewalks or within parks. But rally organizers say playing nice, following rules, and perpetuating the model minority image have gotten them nowhere. They're changing their tactics, now getting disruptive and aggressive.
We've been doing rallies for years, yelling stop Asian hate, and hearing from our elected leaders that they're going to do everything they can to protect Asians and stop Asian hate over and over and over again. We've had enough of rhetoric. We want results.
While they thanked local and state leaders who attended the rally, organizers did not invite them to speak to the roughly 100 demonstrators. Instead, they put the police department in the hot seat, demanding more police protection for Asian seniors.
We are here to demand that Chief Scott, within 10 days of this rally, host a public town hall so we can all come and ask some questions and figure out what are we going to do about Asian violence against our elders.
Like COVID and monkeypox, demonstrators say the Asian attacks should be treated by city leaders as a public health emergency.
People are scared. It feels like open season on the Asian American community.
The anger comes after four people attacked a 70-year-old Chinese woman in the senior housing lobby last Sunday. There are flyers in the complex alerting other residents.
I don't know, again, if it was a crime of opportunity. It certainly may be a hate crime, but that is being investigated by our robbery division.
Surveillance footage shows these four young attackers beating and kicking the woman in the head. They robbed her of an old iPhone 7.
I think they appear to be juveniles. I don't know that someone is 11, but I know that hopefully in the next, very soon, we can announce some leads.
2 days later, on Tuesday, police say a man punched and kicked 70-year-old Gregory Chu as he was walking home in the south of Market District. Greg shared this photo with me, a swollen eye and a broken shoulder. Police say nothing was said or taken, just an unprovoked attack. Police arrested the suspected attacker Sunday morning.
I find these acts this reprehensible, and it's just unacceptable that they happen in the city. And this is the city that I was born in, and it saddens me that they are happening. But we are diligent and we will bring these people to justice.
Organizers say they want less talk and more action.
Fight Asian hate!
San Francisco police say they're stepping up patrols in and around Chinatown, but it's unclear if the police chief will agree to do a town hall on the Asian attacks. In San Francisco, I'm Dahl Lin, KPIX 5.
The number of hate crimes against Asians is climbing. The state reported a 177% increase last year in those crimes. The total number of hate crimes reported went up about 33%.
Now to the latest developments on monkeypox. Activists are calling on local health authorities for more testing and vaccines in the Bay Area. A rally is set for outside the San Francisco Federal Building tomorrow. Also in San Francisco, Zuckerberg General will be reopening its walk-in clinic on Tuesday after receiving more than 10,000 doses of the monkeypox vaccine. And the new State Senate Select Committee on Monkeypox will hold its first meeting on Tuesday. Senator Scott Wiener will serve as the committee's chair.
A strain of bird flu has been found in Sonoma County. It's already been found in Sacramento. This is video from the Sacramento Zoo where those birds are in lockdown and the Wild Care Center in Marin County closing their museum for now. to protect their birds from the flu. Center says that many of the animals have been moved off site. Humans are not at risk from this strain of avian flu.
A benefit car wash was held in Walnut Creek today, but it was missing one key ingredient, the water. KPIX5's John Ramos reports on this growing popularity of getting cars clean without wasting H2O.
They say necessity is the mother of invention, and this drought is giving birth to a lot of new ways of doing things. It seems like the normal way to do it, rinse a car, wash it, and then rinse it again. But in a time of drought, people are looking for new normals. At least Jennifer Anderson was Sunday afternoon in Walnut Creek.
I needed to know what they were doing because I saw them wiping down another car. And I thought, okay, how are they doing this?
They say a normal car wash averages 35 gallons of water. But here, no hoses, no buckets, just a spray bottle and some cloths. It's called No H2O, a waterless car washing system that Brian Stranko uses in his mobile detailing business. He says the chemicals in No H2O emulsify the surface while creating a faint positive charge. Then wiping with a microfiber cloth produces a slightly negative charge, which loosens and removes the dirt.
I'd say we could even get a car cleaner with our products than you can with a regular wash because we're using the types of things that actually break down dirt.
It's hard to tell if it's the chemicals or the elbow grease, but Stranko's daughters who work in the family business swear it's easier and eliminates the extra steps of all that rinsing and drying.
All you have to do is wipe down one and then wipe down two. It's that easy, honestly.
And the results made a believer of Anderson.
It looks great. It's never been that clean.
Are you surprised? Are you surprised a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But it looks great. I love it.
A way to wash cars that eliminates the water. It's something most people never considered before. But now people are considering lots of new things as the shortage of water becomes ever more serious.
If you're not aware, it's hard to know where you've been. And everyone cares about it. And they're looking for easy solutions to help do something about the drought.
In Walnut Creek, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
This afternoon's car wash was a benefit fundraiser for the Fallen Heroes Fund, a local support group for the families of first responders killed in the line of duty.
Big musical weekend in San Francisco will be wrapping up in a matter of hours. The Stern Grove Festival has been celebrating its 85th season for the past few weeks. The performers today are Taj Mahal, Monophonics, and DJ Shortcut. It's also the third and final day of Outside Lands. Grammy Award winner Post Malone will be closing out the festival. And crowds, as you know, pack the stages at Outside Lands for one final day today.
Yes, but beyond the music, the food, and the drinks, there is a growing trend to include cannabis in festivals like this one. And KPIX5's Sean Chitness has more on how that industry is impacting this event.
I just like the vibe of it.
Ellen Bezanson grew up in the Bay Area, but made it out to her first Outside Lands this year. She says Grasslands was a favorite of hers this weekend, making it a point to visit each day.
We're being a little bit more accepting of it, and you know, it's not like kind of as like stigmatized as it was in the past.
Small businesses in San Francisco who have worked to get cannabis in front of more people for decades say Outside Lands was a critical supporter to help people lose the stigma.
We get to show them that in a recreational environment, you can also still relax, feel good, be at ease.
The team behind Grassland says it's a natural fit, where people tend to use marijuana anyway and want a way to relax in the middle of a long weekend that can be draining.
Festivals are intense. You're on your feet for 3 days, bouncing back and forth. So it's nice to be able to give folks a respite.
They also say Outside Lands has become an example for other communities and major events to see that cannabis can be a success for them too.
We have to bring cannabis to events where folks are, including folks who may not have ever interacted with cannabis before.
We definitely need to keep turning states and let that tide keep going.
And while national legalization remains a critical step forward for the industry, businesses are eager for any chance to educate the public about their product.
I hope more events do this, so it's just like even a safer experience, a more calming experience.
Customers have decided they'll keep coming back and seeking out more places to enjoy cannabis together. Reporting in San Francisco, Sean Chitness, KPIX 5.
And in Japantown, the community is celebrating the 48th annual Nihonmachi Street Fair. And despite being scaled back for a second straight year due to COVID, crowds were out by the dozens in Japantown's Peace Plaza, an event filled with live music, car shows, clothing, vendors, and more. The two-day event not only honors traditional Asian Pacific heritage, but it also brings a wave of business to shops around Japantown.
Oh, it looks good, right? Nice weather and everything, so we're excited to be back out at the fair. Feels great to be back selling, to our customer in person, and yeah, it's great to be back out.
And despite this positive turnout, there are hopes the fair can return to full capacity in 2023. Happening tomorrow, it is back to school for students in the Oakland Unified School District.
Masks will no longer be required, but they are strongly recommended indoors. The district encouraging students and staff to test for COVID before coming to school tomorrow. Teachers, of course, have been preparing for the start of the school year. Fremont High School's principal, Nadia Baez, led her staff in workshops and made sure transportation was set up for the kids, even though she's got a broken leg.
It's a lot of open tabs in my head. You know, it's like a computer with a lot of open tabs. And so just making sure that I'm refreshing my tabs. it's good. I feel anything I can do to support people to feel ready for day one.
Baez was a Fremont graduate and has spent 12 years working on campus, six of those years as assistant principal.
Meanwhile, in San Francisco, the school district is scrambling to fill classrooms with teachers. And with the new school year just around the corner, the district says they are short over 100 teachers. SF, USD could possibly combine classrooms to handle that shortage, as well as redeploy district office employees with credentials back into classrooms.
Now at six, an artist known for beautifying beaches with his sand art is working on his latest project right here at Ocean Beach. KPX 5 photojournalist Brian Ewan gives us a look.
Now, these are a far cry from the sandcastles I used to build as a kid on the beach. My name is Tyler Hughes. What in the world, I guess, was my first thought.
Your name?
Jim Denovan. I've been drawing in the sand here for 28 years. People have probably seen me drawing in the sand with a rake or with a stick. It's all spontaneous. There's no plan before I come down here. This is new. This is different to actually do physical sculptures on the beach. But it's the same kind of thing. It washes away with time.
We kind of walk up and we see all these little pyramid looking things. And our first question is, what is this? I think it's cool. You know, in Oklahoma, obviously, we don't have beaches. And it's cool that, you know, they can kind of make art like this and use the sand and the water and natural resources and make something, you know, super cool. Something that everyone can appreciate.
My name is Michael. Definitely caught my eye and had to check it out. I feel lucky to see it. I feel lucky and blessed to see it.
You know, you put all this time into it and then it's just kind of wash away, so part of you might ask, you know, what's the point? But another part of you might say, well, you know, everything's kind of temporary and why not art? And it's cool. You build something up and it goes right back. And I don't know, there's something fitting to that.
Art of this kind is of the day. It doesn't, you won't see it next month. It'll be completely gone. So it's kind of a recognition of, you know, where we are in our lives.
And right now in Washington, D.C., a Sunday session in the Senate paving the way for a massive spending bill to get one step closer to President Biden's desk. The Senate passing the Inflation Reduction Act, but that's only one part of the bill. Vice President Kamala Harris had to cast the deciding vote as Democrats and Republicans voted along party lines. Now, the bill addresses health care costs, climate change issues, and puts a tax on large corporations. Democrats hailed the bill as a way to ease inflation and reduce the deficit, while Republicans say it's basically just a package of tax hikes.
This bill will kickstart the era of affordable clean energy in America. It's a game changer. It's a turning point, and it's been a long time in coming.
We shouldn't be raising taxes ever, but especially in a recession. And why would we be raising the taxes on gas right now when it's $2 above what it was when Joe Biden took office?
The House will take this bill up next, and when they come back from a summer recess Friday, it's expected to pass.
Well, on the same theme, the June jobs report gives a better outlook on the economy than what experts predicted would happen. The leisure and hospitality industry saw some of the biggest gains in the report. And as KPXY's Len Ramirez shows us, there are plenty of signs of a rebound in the South Bay.
Well, you can often tell a lot about what's happening with the local economy just by looking at the sidewalks, especially those in front of the convention center or hotels. And right now, those sidewalks are pretty full.
The cute costumes and colorful people of the Crunchyroll Expo have returned to San Jose after a more than two-year absence.
It's definitely incredible being able to come back to conventions. I've certainly missed it with all the COVID and everything.
For San Jose and the tens of thousands of people whose jobs depend on the leisure and hospitality industry, it's money in the bank.
The event is as popular as ever, and that also means all our hotels citywide are selling out for these convention goers who are here from all across the country.
The travel industry was hit hard by the pandemic, but hotel pools and lobbies are filling up again.
We're starting to see that growth, and we're very encouraged to see what's happening in San Jose as far as business travel. And here in Santana Row, great leisure travel.
Staffing levels are still down about 15% from pre-pandemic levels, but it's growing thanks to families like this. The Rutlands from New Mexico are having their first out-of-state vacation in years. They're visiting San Jose, Santa Cruz, and San Francisco.
You know, being able to support all these local businesses and places that we, got to know and enjoy. It's nice.
Travelers are experiencing higher prices for rooms, food, and transportation, but it's a price it seems many are now willing to make together.
Yeah, the bustling atmosphere is like my favorite part of this whole thing.
In San Jose, Len Ramirez, KPIX5.
Juliet, here's a question for you. What do you get when you combine a retired salesman and a retired nuclear physicist?
Oh, my. Well, if you live at a certain Pleasanton retirement home, you get the fix-it guys. And as KPIX5's Andrea Borba tells us, it is a well-earned nickname.
The first rule of the wood shop at Stone Ridge Creek Retirement is clean up your sawdust.
We're about a third of the way through this project.
Of the 79,201 residents of Pleasanton, only two are known as the fix-it guys, 80-year-old Rick Levesque and 95-year-old Phil Weyer. When Rick and his wife, Kathy, moved in after a 40-year career in nuclear physics at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, he needed a hobby, and fast.
After twiddling my thumbs for a few weeks, I said, I gotta do something, I'm going nuts.
After building a desk and a model wooden ship, Rick found himself in the wood shop 5 hours a day, 7 days a week, just to get off the sofa. He and Phil carved out a niche as the fix-it guys for the residents of Stone Ridge Creek.
It's a continuum of furniture pieces, broken lamps, all kinds of crazy things that are broken come into this shop. We have built a reputation with the residents. If it's broken, bring it to the shop. They'll fix anything.
The craziest thing they fixed?
One of them was a gentleman's dentures. No joke. What do you need? He pulls out his upper palate and he says, my dentist hasn't been able to fix the burr on this tooth and it's causing an ulcer.
Not a problem for these two.
The hardest was a wine barrel, making a bar out of it.
Today, retired salesman Phil is working on a hexagonal planter box. But it's not just about busy hands keeping minds young here. It's mostly about this.
There's a picture of it on the web.
And this.
Yeah, he does everything I tell him.
We gripe about the music, we gripe about the sawdust on the floor, all kinds of things. But we gripe with a smile. And we have a good time.
The work of serving their fellow residents is a secondary priority to camaraderie.
Without this, I don't know what I would have done.
We can fix anything in this shop but a broken heart. They're hard to fix.
Proving liquid nails can hold more together than just wood.
We're good friends. And we learned that here.
In Pleasanton, Andrea Borba, KPIX 5.
I could watch them for hours just talking.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. 60 Minutes is next.